This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here
to analyze the game they love
for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh House.
Tuning into another edition of another Dolphins podcast, and please help me welcome a very special guest, a 13-year NFL veteran turned analyst. His work can be found on NFL Network, Fox Sports, Odyssey, and more. Brian Baldinger, Baldy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. I mean, we are exactly 3 weeks away from the draft, and that might sound like a long distance for some people, but we know in this industry, like, this thing is going to go by in a snap. So we're all talking about it. We're all projecting. We're all reading mock drafts. Like, we're all in the same boat right now. So it's a fun time of the year for me.
I love the NFL season because we all, no matter if you're a fan, you create content, you're playing, there's a routine involved. And for fans, viewers, you start your day on CBS and Fox. Yeah. Then you go to NBC. And something that's happened over the last 2 years, part of that routine of being a fan is you go right to Twitter Monday morning. And you start hunting out Baldy breakdowns because they are some of the funnest videos to watch. I'm curious, you know, you mentioned it. The draft is 3 weeks away. It's going to go by in a snap. What's your off-season process like? What are you really looking for, whether it be the draft, whether it be free agency?
Well, I like vacation season. So I have been to Costa Rica and I have been to the Bahamas. I'm still going to go to Belize and to Bali, maybe Dubai. So I build my off season around vacations. But when I'm not vacation, I'm grinding. So I went through free agency hard. I studied the combine and the guys that were there. And I've just been looking at, I literally text a couple different general managers every other day for, give me five guys that nobody's talking about. Let me go study them. And so then you kind of get some insight to what they're thinking, what they see kind of, you know, and then, you know, we come back and sort of cross-check each other. But I'm just really intent on trying to figure out the top 100 players in this draft and then maybe, you know, 25, you know, golden nuggets that people can find later in the draft for teams that, you know, don't have a lot of draft capital.
Yeah, like Jake said, I mean, we all love watching Baldy breakdowns, and it does seem like you kind of play into the Dolphins fan base a little bit. I mean, I know we all saw last year you did, I think, a Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb breakdown. So I wanted your thoughts. Where would you rank them among, you know, the top pass rushing duos? And how do you see the Dolphins approaching, you know, this season, knowing that both of those top edge rushers are coming off, you know, the season-ending injuries?
Yeah, and then they lose Manny Ogba and they lose Van Ginkel. And so their top four edge rushers are gone. At least, you know, right now here in April. I love Jalen Phillips, and I talked to him this offseason. I went and talked to him a bunch at minicamp. Like, I would literally, like, injuries are part of the game, but when he went down on Black Friday against the Jets, like, it ripped me apart because I know how hard he works, how important the game is to him. He'd been through injuries in college, you know, and so it was rough. Bradley Chubb was coming on. I kind of like Phillips' game better than Chubb, but together you got to have a duo. And when Vic was there, they kind of built their defenses around that and the corner play. And so, you know, kind of they struggled down the stretch without that group in there. Now to lose Christian Wilkins, like, it's they got to rebuild this front right now. Fortunately, there's a lot of good guys in this draft that, you know, you might lean on to try and find some replacements.
I wanted to ask you about that because it seemed like the Dolphins last year specifically, they invested so much in that front for Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, one of the more talented groups in the league. I saw you share a post when Wilkins signed with the Raiders talking about how he is the head of every single practice, every single play. He's that first guy out there. How do you really quantify not only losing someone who has that attitude, that personality, but, oh, by the way, he's one of, what, five defensive tackles that's going to play over 90% of snaps any given game?
So I posted that video because every time I go out to a Dolphin practice, he literally, you know, it's time to hit the sled. He's the first one to hit the sled. Coach is, you know, drawing up a new drill. He's the first one in the drill. Like, you could just tell the leadership is there. So then, you know, when he left and, you know, he goes to the Raiders, I hit up a couple of Bills that I know, offensive linemen. I'm like, what's it like playing against, you know, Christian Wilkins? And they're like, oh, Baldy, man. He's like that stone in your shoe. Like, he's grabbing your towel. He's hitting you in the back. He's bumping into you. Like, he just, you hate to play against him because he's a prick. He's just a prick. But he's that teammate that you need. And obviously him and Zach had this really special bond. They, you know, you just, anytime they were wired, the way that they talked, they, I mean, that it's what defensive line should be. It should be guys just having a blast out there, just trying to annoy the quarterback and basically getting up this, underneath the skin of everybody out there. And so, well, Wilkins had this tremendous talent, work ethic. He also was that guy that you hated playing against and loved as a teammate. And that's, I told that to Max Crosby. I'm like, you're going to love this guy because he's just like you. You're out there just trying to annoy every quarterback you possibly can on the field, off the field, every day that you can. And you get another one that's going to join the brotherhood.
As someone molded by the trenches, does that annoying attitude, personality, does that work?
It can. It doesn't always work. When I was with the Cowboys, the Bears were the best defense in football. And, you know, they had, you know, so, you know, you're going against Steve McMichael and, you know, all these guys up there in Chicago, they talked every snap and it just irritated you. You know, like you just say, like, do you ever get tired? Like, does the mouth ever get tired? Like, but they use that as more of their own motivation than it was trying to irritate you. But it did, like when you're losing and they're just yapping and yapping and yapping, it's like, and then when you're beating them and they're still yapping, you're like, don't, like, come on, like, just look at the scoreboard. But that's who they were. And it can be annoying, but you also know when you play against guys like that, you know when you're beating them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that all of a sudden the chatter changes. And you know all of a sudden, instead of just chatting for fun, they're bitching at each other. So, you know, when you're breaking their sword now, like, that chatter changes. And then you know, like, you're doing something good.
Yeah, I mean, we miss Christian Wilkins. We're all going to miss him, but we all know that what he got paid out to the Dolphins could truly match that. But that's not the only changes on the defensive side of the ball, right? We're talking about all these guys they lost. They lost Vic Fangio to the Philadelphia Eagles. So I want to get your thoughts on, you know, if you know anything of Anthony Weaver, you know, maybe what you've heard throughout the league. How do you think he's going to come in and take this defense? And do you believe that, you know, once these injuries do settle down, that it's possible that this defense may be better than what we saw last year? Because at times it did seem like there could have been a little bit more juice to be squeezed.
Well, I mean, they finished 21st in defense last year. It wasn't like, you know, that Baltimore went down there and put up 56 points. I mean, they, you know, now that was after the injuries and everything. But look, Anthony Weaver is part of the brotherhood. Like, he was a defensive lineman, Notre Dame. Like, he's smart. He's worked his tail off. I thought there was a point a couple years ago where he could easily have been a head coach the way D'Amico Ryans became a head coach. You know, but like, you got to be in the right situation. Your team's got to flourish a little bit. Like, you know, you're in Houston, your defense coordinator, like, and you're losing. Nobody's coming after you. But Anthony Weaver, it won't surprise me to see him a year, 2 years, if he helps turn this thing around, become a head coach. He's got those kind of qualifications. He's been attached to a lot of good organizations like Baltimore. Like, Anthony Weaver's good. Like, you know, and I'm not knocking Vic or anybody else. Like, I think Anthony Weaver, like, they found the right guy. And I think the players – there will respect Anthony Weaver. And so it starts with the respect. And then it's a question of, okay, you know, playing chess and moving pieces around. They look like they've got a pretty good linebacking core right now with the guys that they've signed. All right, let's get some help in the draft. Let's just try to build this roster as much as we can. And then let's figure out what we have, what we could do well, and what's the best plan week in, week out with what we have.
Baldy, I truly started following the Dolphins about 2012 is when I really got deep into football. And over the last decade, the Dolphins, I'm going to safely say, have never had a good offensive line. That seems like it's always been their Achilles heel every single year. It seemed like they started to turn a corner last year. You can make a little bit of an argument that Tua gets rid of the ball pretty quickly. That really kind of cleans things up. But one interesting trend I see the Dolphins going towards is you had Connor Williams, an excellent center. He suffered a tough injury that I hope he comes back from. He's listed at 6'6". Liam Eichenberg, he's listed at 6'5". Now the Dolphins have brought in former Titans center Aaron Brewer to come in. He's only 6'1", a little bit on the smaller end. Is that just a coincidence, or is Miami trying to focus and do something with this interior of their offensive line, make it a little smaller with guys like Isaiah Wynn? He's coming back. He's 6'2". And then you have guys like Robert Hunt, who's leaving. He's on the larger size, about 6'6".
The replacement for Connor's not on the roster. I mean, Connor would like, it surprised me because Connor struggled at left guard in Dallas. And he didn't, I don't think he played center at Texas. But they had a good vision for Connor because he came in, he played excellent. He was a really good, solid player. And I don't believe, like I said, the replacement's there. Aaron Brewer, to me, I thought he was a weakness in Tennessee. Now, there was a lot of weaknesses in Tennessee once everything kind of got blown up and guys started getting hurt. But I didn't think he was a strength. And when your center isn't strong, your offensive line is not going to be strong. They led the league in rush average last year, in large part because of what Connor was doing early in the year. Obviously, the Denver game was the outlier. But, you know, I this is a good draft for centers. You know, you're picking 55. I mean, I don't know if Zach Frazier from West Virginia is there, but to me, he's going to come in and start. I don't know if Graham Barton is there, you know, left tackle Duke, but has played center. I don't know if he's going to be there. But, you know, at 21, maybe the center from Oregon is there. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, you have two choices here. Like, you could go Johnny Newton, you know, and go get maybe the best interior defensive lineman in this draft, you know, out of Illinois, and that would make a lot of sense. But you also could say, okay, we know we're going to struggle on defense. Just until we get Chubb and Jalen back healthy and really coming back to form. Like, part of me says, let's just build this offense into a juggernaut. Let's add pieces up front. You don't know, honestly, what the health of Teron Armstead is ever going to be. He's a great player when he's on the field, but, you know, he's missed a lot of time, and that's been his – if he was on this podcast, he'd tell you, like, I need to line up for 17. But this is a good draft for offensive tackles, for centers. Like, maybe they should just fix the offensive line, allow Raheem Mostert, they just resigned Devon Achane, get the receivers going, and just make this the number one, two, or three offense in football and live with whatever you got on defense until you can get enough bodies healthy and learn a new scheme and that kind of thing.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, that sounds like music to my ears. And we're sitting here talking about the offensive line, and we know that that is, you know, the key to success, right? I mean, the trenches is what where you win and lose. And the biggest thing for the Dolphins over the last few years has obviously been the health of Tua Tagovailoa. It seems like the last few years in Mike McDaniel's offense, he seemingly, you know, tried to really attack some of his weaknesses throughout the year and improve on that. So I guess I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Tua Tagovailoa, because I'll be completely honest, the Dolphins fan base is at each other's throats each and every day about him. I mean, it's so polarizing, you know, the way some of this fan base treats him. But what are your thoughts on Tua Tagovailoa? And then what part of his game do you think maybe he should, you know, fine comb this offseason and try to improve on?
The biggest thing is he lined up for 18 games last year. I've never seen Tua do that. Alabama, like, I don't know what his high school record was, but, you know, I mean, he lined up for 18 games. That was the biggest weakness of Tua. Could he get away from the injury bug? And so, you know, he spent the offseason getting bigger, stronger, gained weight. You know, just physically, you look at him, he looked stronger. He didn't get bounced off the turf like he did the year before. And part of it was getting the ball, you know, rid of the ball quickly and running the ball as effective as they did. But I think that's the first thing. And then, you know, secondly, gosh, you know, I mean, it seemed like, Tyreek was in and out of the lineup, you know, the last 6 weeks constantly. And so when you don't have your star receiver, what can you lean on? Now, Jalen was the same thing. And so was, you know, the running backs. Like, they were all in and out. And so now the quarterback is really, okay, what are you going to do? Like, the Tennessee game comes to mind. Tyreek, like, I don't, you know, he was out there before the game, went out of the game, came back, went out. That's hard to get into, especially you're trying to convert these third downs and you're trying to put this team away the way they should have, and you can't put them away. And sometimes you got to go, okay, I don't have Tyreek this series, maybe next year. But, like, you got to figure out a way to put teams like Tennessee away, who they were better than, but they lost. And, you know, it's the way that they lost the game. So I just think maybe if you say, okay, how do you fine-tune this? Just know that some of these guys, maybe they're not built for 17 games. And I'm not saying they can't do it. He just, Tua just did it. But, like, maybe not going to have your number one and number two. I forget the running back they had that came off the practice squad and played.
Chris Brooks, I think it was.
Who was it?
Chris Brooks, a little bit of a bigger guy, I think.
Yeah, like, okay, you're handing off to Chris Brooks. Like, you don't have your A team out there. So, like, I just think sometimes you just got to recognize, like, we're not full speed. So, like, maybe you have to play just a little bit different. And I'm not saying what that – I don't even know what that means, honestly, Josh. It's a good question. I don't even know what it means. But if I'm Tua, like, okay, if we get another year where guys start getting banged up, we still got to, like, produce. We still got to move the ball. Maybe we're not going to do it with the chunks that we're used to getting. So me and Mike, maybe we got to adjust a little bit.
I think what the Dolphins have done, just from going $50 million over the salary cap, having to cut so many players, I think they've done a good job filling holes while trying to maintain a little bit of salary cap space. There's a lot of talk about Odell Beckham. Tyler Boyd's been mentioned. When you look at this Miami Dolphins team, you have Waddle and Hill who are going to combine, let's say, 18 targets a game roughly. The running back group looks great. You bring in Jonnu Smith. Does spending on a wide receiver three really help maximize this team's potential? You know, you spoke about how sometimes Tyreek and Waddle might miss some time, but you can't really replace those guys, even if you have those fallback receivers. If the Dolphins were to kind of push in and make one more, let's say, present front of the Christmas tree, would it be that wide receiver three, or are you still just focused right in on that offensive line?
I'd go offensive line. I think you can find receivers in the draft, even in the fifth round. Picks in the sixth round. I mean, you go get Luke McCaffrey, you know, I mean, just go get, you know, the little brother of Christian. Like, he looks like he can play. You re-sign Braxton Berrios, you know, he's there. And I know he's your punt returner, but he is a blazer. You know, you had brought Robbie Anderson in there at some point last year, Robbie Chose or whatever he goes by. You know, he didn't do much. Like, there's a place for a third receiver, but I don't think it has to be any kind of priority. River Craycraft, I don't know. I think he's still there. Yeah. Like, Mike knows him from San Francisco. I don't think it has to be a high priority right now where you need to go make this splash, because you just really don't know what that role is going to be. And are they going to be happy in that role? You know, and then what are you going to get? You know, I mean, look, I happen to think Tyler Boyd's a great player, but he is strictly a slot receiver. That's what he is. Now, does that change moving Jalen and Tyreek around, or, you know, Jonnu Smith, who they signed, who has that ability to go into the slot? Like, does that kind of change things? Because that's all Tyler did in Cincinnati. He was really good at it, and he understands all those route combinations. But I don't know that, you know, that that's going to make that big of a difference right now with what, you know, the speed that they have on the outside right now and how they throw the ball to Raheem and what they might do with Devon. So, I feel like there's other more pressing needs on this team where they could spend the money a little bit more wisely, especially, you know, when they started. I think they were $34 million over the cap when they started this thing. Somehow, here they are. Like, they can line up with 22 right now and, you know, be competitive.
Yeah, I think we agree with you, and we think that they can, you know, fill that role with a Smith or Devon Achane out of the backfield or different pieces there. You mentioned how you're trying to narrow this down to your 100 favorite prospects. You threw out some names here, but say you're Chris Greer. Say you're on the clock with the 21st overall pick. We know Mike McDaniel has, I think, yet to use a first-round pick in the draft. Who would you target? You know, you only get to pick maybe one offensive guy, one defensive guy. Who would you really own in on? Are they those trench players that you've talked about, or would you maybe, you know, go elsewhere?
Well, I believe in greatness. And so I think that Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, like, if he's there at 21, I don't know. Like, there's a gold standard, you know, in Miami for what a center should look like. He's in the Hall of Fame. We all know his name. His you know, his career was cut short. He was the best center I've ever seen play, ever. So, like, I'm not comparing any, you know, any Hall of Fame player, but, like, this guy makes a difference, especially the way that they want to run the ball. Like, this guy mauls people, and he's big and wide. I just think, like, if I had a chance to fix the – like, I love Johnny Newton. Like, I have no question. I think he could beat Christian Wilkins, maybe better, maybe a better pass rusher. I have no problem, you know, taking him 21 and filling a need, a sure need. But I also feel like, boy, if you have a chance to really upgrade the offensive line, I know Aaron Brewer's there, but you had a chance to go upgrade the offensive line. I think this guy, you know, this Miami could be the best offense in football if they really have a great group up front this year.
And that's kind of the thing. They had like a double-digit amount of starting offensive lines last season. Just because you draft a guy in the first round doesn't mean you're not going to need the Aaron Brewers of the world and these other guys to come in. And knowing they have experience in the NFL is such a nice added bonus. Baldy, before we let you take off here, there's been a little bit of a shakeup in the AFC East. There's a lot of talking heads talked about who's the favorite in the AFC East after Stephon Diggs was traded from the Buffalo Bills. I won't make you go that far, considering it's only April. But the Dolphins had a lot of work to do this offseason. Where are your vibes at about how this process has gone for them? Are you feeling pretty good? Can I start to think that maybe we'll see a playoff win for the first time in 20 years? Is that maybe getting the cart in front of the horse a little bit?
Well, I know the teams in the AFC East are happy to see Stephon Diggs go. I mean, he put up big numbers against Miami when he played against you. You know, he was a real thorn, and so was Josh Allen, and Buffalo has been all the way down to the last game of the season last year. So I feel, though, that this thing is up for grabs. Nobody knows the health of the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. With what they brought in, they brought in a lot of guys that have had injury histories. The quarterback is 40, but if they stay healthy, it's going to be hard to believe. I think the Jets have the best defense line in football. And if you just add, you know, the corners they have and the linebackers, like, they could easily be as good a defense. Now, if the offense collapses and you're not scoring any points, every defense is going to collapse and fall apart, right, like they did last year. But the Jets certainly have a chance. But Miami's offense, like, I think they're scary good, and they have a chance to maybe get a little bit better here. You know, in the draft, they could easily draft a center in the first or second round, and maybe that could, you know, you could take Johnny Newton 21 and Zach Frazier 55. Like, I'm just throwing names out there. But I mean, if you get two starters with your first and second round pick at the right spots, I believe that, like, this team could be vastly improved and highly, highly competitive.
Baldy, I think I speak for Jake and I both when I say this has been a pleasure. I mean, we brought in the whale of, you know, football breakdowns, everything. It was just a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Tell our viewers, you know, what you're working on, maybe where they can follow you at and hear more content from, you know, obviously the great one, Brian Baldinger.
Thanks, Josh. I've just been breaking down players. I broke down Blake Corum yesterday and Marshawn Nealon from Central Michigan. And, you know, I mean, just different guys, daily breakdowns. But I'm going to be doing Path to the Draft tomorrow for NFL Network, followed by Total Access. I'm sure it's just going to be heavy draft talk all the way through, maybe a little division by division breakdowns that we kind of do this time of the year. So I'll be doing that, and you can catch me on a bunch of different podcasts, Odyssey Radio, you know, All City Sports. So there's a lot of different outlets right now this time of the year. But tomorrow, Friday, the NFL Network, I'll probably get a lot of chatter time to, you know, tell people what I think about certain players.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, Baldy, thank you so much, and I hope you get to go and enjoy all your vacations as well.
I appreciate that, guys. I like to set my goals and accomplish my goals. So I'll think about you when I'm lost in some rice paddy in Bali, you know, in the middle of May.
Amazing.
Please be the ask. Right, thanks, Baldy.
Thank you so much, Baldy. You're good,
man. Anytime, guys. Yep, take care. Good job.
And before we keep going on with another Dolphins podcast, I just got to shout out Baldy one more time, Josh. That was absolutely awesome to hear from one of the legends himself.
Yeah, man. I mean, we come on here all the time and say, you know, thanks to our fan base and people for listening and giving us this platform. But being able to do things like this, it's just, you know, truly things that you couldn't even imagine, right? So, again, shout out to Baldinger, because we all love all the work he puts out, and we'll all be tuning in throughout the draft process and as the season kicks off. So thanks again, Baldy.
the internet broke a little bit. We spoke about it with Baldy, but Josh, the Bills traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans, who are looking like an absolute wagon all of a sudden. So I kind of wanted to spend a little time chit-chatting here about the state of the AFC East, because it kind of seems like it's turning into a division that isn't made for wide receivers when you really start to think about things. You could look at Christian Gonzalez in New England, what he did in his rookie season. With the Jets, you got Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. Miami, you have a all-pro cornerback in Jalen Ramsey, and don't get me wrong, we're going to be hyping up Kendall Fuller for about 4 months. So when you kind of look at that landscape and how the Bills found success in that final stretch of the season, you know, I hate to bring it up, but Miami was up, what, 3 with 5 to play. The Bills just charged back, and it was really about the rushing game. Do you see this as one of those moves that it's just Buffalo really trying to lock in, maybe do what they're doing in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, bring in some cheaper guys and really just kind of build in the trenches and just move the football?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it has to do with, right? I mean, we see right now they made this move and they're, what, $31 million against the cap or something like that with this trade. I mean, I don't know why it came about. I mean, it seems like there was definitely some riffraff between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, right? We all saw the "you sure" comment that he replied to, and then the next day he's traded. So I don't know what they're thinking, to be honest. I think in the perfect world, they would much rather have had Stephon Diggs happy and, you know, that wide receiver one, but that's not the case now. And now they got to sit here and go with the flow. Like you said, they've got to do similar to what the Kansas City Chiefs did. And I know a lot of Dolphin fans and myself included were taking victory laps, so we do got to remember, right? I mean, they're going to find a wide receiver one, I'm sure. They still got Josh Allen. They saw Dalton Kincaid get good. I'm hyping up Curtis Samuel every other year. I mean, they do still have some pieces. So I don't think the Dolphins are, the by far favorite to win this division. But anybody that says that this isn't a seismic shift in the division, lowers those Bills, their odds a little bit, would just be foolish. But I keep going back to, they made this trade. How good are the Texans now, man? I mean, that team is an absolute freaking juggernaut, at least on paper. And they're so young that they're going to be a thorn in our side if we want to compete for many years too. So crazy that this trade went down. I think we're all happy that it did because we're Dolphin fans and we can take victory laps now. But at the end of the day, I think the Bills probably have a plan in place. And if they don't, they better figure out one quick.
Gotta assume they're going wide receiver. I know I think they picked like 28th, whether it's moving up or something along those lines. You got to think that's a unit they're going to try to add. But I mean, they just spent a first round pick on Dalton Kincaid, and I'm not saying he's Travis Kelce. There's one Travis Kelce, but if you want to try to make that blueprint kind of lean into some players that can maybe thrive against modern NFL defenses, that'd be something worth watching. Josh, Stephon Diggs, 31 years old, I believe. The Bills received a 2025 second round pick. In return, they had to send some late round picks as well in order to shed this contract. It's hard not to kind of put everything in aqua orange glasses. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, think back like 2-3 months ago when everybody was like capologists, right? Let's cut all these guys. Let's restructure all these contracts. And before you know it, the Dolphins will have $80 million in salary cap space. Well, what are they going to spend it on? I don't know, but we're going to have $80 million in salary cap space. We're seeing that it's not always the best idea to restructure these contracts and add extra years and all this fun stuff. Do you see a little situation here where maybe we kind of see why Tyreek Hill wasn't given a restructured contract like many were just kind of assuming was going to happen this offseason?
Maybe. I mean, and it's always the receivers too, it seems, right? Like they're always the ones that they have these problems, like these diva-esque problems and things like that. So I don't know if that's why the Dolphins didn't do it. I mean, I do think that we're sitting here and we can look at this from an outsider's perspective with our goggles on and at least think, oh, no one's ever said this stuff about Tua, right? We don't have a Stephon or Tyreek Hill saying, are you sure that Tua Tagovailoa or who made who? So I'm trying to look at it from a homer perspective and think, this is cannot backfire, right? This is a great thing. The Bills are in, they're down bad. Their window is closed, this, that, and the other thing. But part of me just has to sit there and realize that there's still going to be a battle for this AFC. So maybe that's why the Dolphins haven't gave Tyreek Hill a long-term deal. But I just have to think that, for all the negative press that Tyreek Hill gets, I mean, I think we see him. I'm just going to delete that because I don't want to talk about that because he's kind of a dick. Never mind. Ignore that part. I'll delete it.
Oh, you're good, man. And that's like, because there is going to be another opportunity for the Dolphins to like push their chips in, and the idea of freeing up all the cap space made so much sense, but there didn't really seem like what's the move Miami really missed out on. We see that, you know, Christian Wilkins wasn't going to take Miami's offer. I mean, I don't know if I'd have been happy if you're restructuring Tyreek Hill to pay Christian Wilkins his $28 million. I kind of like what they did. It wasn't necessarily conservative. They did open up some flexibility, but man, it is nice knowing that like you are on overthecap.com and you're not clicking like 2025, 2026, 2027. Most of Miami ends there. So you're not looking like 8-9. Once you get into that, that's when it starts to get a little scary this early.
Yeah. And it does kind of make you wonder a little bit though. Is this like kind of a foreshadowing of what we're going to have to deal with, you know, a couple years down the road, right? Cause you're mentioning it. We're kicking the can a little bit. We're already tight against the cap. Tua Tagovailoa is about to get absolutely, you know, a monster deal. So is this kind of how things might be for the Dolphins as well, you know, later down the road? I don't know, but I'm just happy that Stephon Diggs is no longer with the Bills. But I don't think that people can sit here and say that the fork in the Bills, they're dumb, because they do have Josh Allen, and regardless of how his stats may have looked before Stephon Diggs got there or after, I mean, I know we're trying to spin it as homers, but I think it's funny people are showing the numbers and stuff. It's like, well, clearly he got better with Stephon Diggs there, just like Tua clearly got better with Tyreek Hill here. We'll see what the Bills do, but I hope that means they're down and out and the Dolphins can find a way to finally win the East, Jake. And like Baldy said, like you mentioned, maybe we can finally win a freaking playoff game this year, man, because it's just been way too long.
One of the strangest arguments I heard from Bills fans is like, well, it's not a big deal that we traded Stephon Diggs. He was going to get paid either way. I don't know what I'm missing about that logic to me, but it sounds like it's okay that I just totaled my car and I can't drive with it anymore. I still have to pay for it. So what's the difference? That's kind of the reasoning I got out of that. It seems strange to think like he was going to make $30 million if he was on the team or not. It's like, well, he'd be on the field. We saw him absolutely roast Kader Kohu in week 3. No offense, Kader, he's still one of our goats, but it just seemed like weird stance to take that, like, hey, he's gonna get paid either way, so might as well trade him. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, might as well trade him and put $31 million on your books to watch him catch passes from CJ Stroud, right? Yeah, it makes no sense, but they're coping, man. We'd be the same way. I mean, I think it's funny that people are like bringing back tweets from when they're like, don't even talk about a Stephon Diggs trade rumor. There's no chance it's gonna happen. Like, Kay Adams is retweeting, like, okay, yeah, you were right. Like, bringing back the receipts. And it just goes to show you, man, that we can sit here and think we know what's going to happen. But just like the Tyreek Hill trade came out of nowhere, we like got hit by a train in the side. You know, it just felt like our entire world just got shifted. Bills fans are feeling that exact same way right now. And we'll see what they do with that second round pick. But I had to laugh when I saw it. I'm like, damn, dude, the Dolphins gave up more for Josh Rosen than they gave up for the Texans gave up for freaking.
Oh no.
And when you put it into perspective like that, and I was a guy that supported Josh Rosen, I thought throw as many darts as you can, maybe a quarterback will come out of it. But dude, yeah, they got less for Stephon Diggs than the Dolphins gave up for Josh Rosen.
Oh brother, that's some perspective I didn't know I needed.
I should have tweeted that and hashtag Bills Mafia and get him really mad.
Dude, that would have been actually super freaking funny. Before we wrap up here, I wanted to get your thoughts about what Baldy said about Aaron Brewer. I absolutely love that I'm not alone here. Dude, I've been saying for weeks that I think that Aaron Brewer isn't set to be the team's starting center. To see him kind of sitting there like with like a little sense of confidence that he doesn't think the center is still on the roster. Was that a surprise for you?
A little bit, because I mean, at least it seems based on you again, I guess the contract. Again, I said if they move him to guard, it won't be too bad, but it sounded or at least seems on paper that he would be that center. So to hear him confidently say, you know, and I do believe what Brewer was it his first year playing center last? I think he's still young at the center position, but to hear him just confidently say, you know, without a doubt, the center's not on the roster, you know, maybe that's him trying to hype up Powers Johnson like we all are, but he seemed confident. If Baldy says our center's not on the roster, I'm gonna believe what Baldy's thinking, other than, you know, what I see in an Aaron Brewer, you know, couple highlights of him moving Christian Wilkins a play, right?
Exactly. And we're not saying it can't work or that he isn't, but I do think there's a conversation still to be had there. The mock draft season's been getting a little crazy, right? We're starting to see some mock drafts, like 4 quarterbacks going in the top 5, people falling out of the first round, some crazy trades. So I do kind of want to send out a PSA of like, people are getting bored. Like, you're going to start to see some crazy, crazy stuff going on over the next month as we just wait for the draft, as people are going to say, this was a big week for Michael Penix Jr. Why? well, nothing else was going on, so let's just hype out this guy. That's literally what's happening right now, so I want to keep that in mind. How happy are you with this starting offensive line, Joshua? We got Teron Armstead, Kendall Lamb back, who had one of the greatest one-minute video talking about him re-signing with Miami. Left guard, we have Isaiah Wynn, Lester Cotton, center, Aaron Brewer, Liam Eichenberg. Right guard, Robert Jones, Chasen Hines, right tackle, Keon Smith, Austin Jackson, Jack Driscoll. What pops out to you?
Well, first, Isaiah Wynn, he came out right and said that this was his last ride, so we got to keep that in mind. But to me, Kendall Lamb. Who did I say? Oh, Wynn. Yeah. So Kendall Lamb said, you know, that this was his last ride, Jake. But for me, I think I'm starting to get a little bit queasy about that left tackle spot now that Baldy brought it up, you know, and we all really realized that Teron Armstead was injury prone, but long term, I'm worried about what happens there. So for 2024, I mean, I think they're going to be able to plug pieces and make this thing work. But long term, I'm looking at left tackle because that's obviously going to be an issue. And Baldy's got me thinking center, but I do think they're just going to throw bodies at the guard spots unless they do draft a center and then move Brewer over. But I don't know, man. I'm trying to believe in Butch Berry, believe that this team knows what they're doing and they're going to figure it out. So 6.9 on the 10 on the happy scale. Is that a thing?
I'll take that. A name to watch if we really want to really like hone in on the Butch Berry for president campaign. Ryan Hayes, the Dolphins drafted him late last year. He went to the Cardinals. Everybody yelled at Chris Greer for letting a precious, precious draft pick go away. He didn't play much. He hit the free agent wire. He's actually back in Miami. They signed him to a futures deal for next year. He's listed as their third string left tackle right now. That'll be a position to watch, I think. If we were to see someone start to gain some momentum, and, you know, consider like Kendall Lamb, undrafted free agent, Lester Cotton, undrafted free agent, I think, or late round guy, if not, and the same can be said about Robert Jones. Right guard is also what I'm interested to watch because, yes, Robert Jones has experience starting the playoffs, but having him and Chasen Hines as your 1-2 punch there after Big Bob Hunt for the last 4 years, that's one where I think whether Miami adds to the offensive line at center or left tackle, I think somehow maybe indirectly right guard might get a little boost one way or another.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder, and it's probably something stupid, but do you think Austin Jackson's play could take a hit without Robert Hunt next to him? I mean, I don't know why I haven't even thought about that, but, you know, we saw Austin Jackson really, you know, look very good last year. Losing a guy like Robert Hunt, obviously, it's not going to make things any easier for you. So that's something to keep an eye on, man. Again, I think if they were to bring in a Jackson Powers Johnson, like Baldy suggested, I mean, then you can move Brewer to one of those spots and then just let Liam Eichenberg, Driscoll, you know, Rob Jones, let those guys just battle out for the other guard spots. So, we'll see, man. I'm just excited that we're, what, like Baldy said, 3 weeks away from the draft. And it just seems like the Dolphins have their patches plugged in and they're going to go maybe best player available. We'll see, man. But times are changing for the Miami Dolphins, and we're just excited to be on the ride.
I think we have the next project for the At Houts YouTube channel. I mean, Robert Hunt missed the most games of his career, I'm fairly certain, this year. So maybe you could kind of go back, take a look at those games with or without Hunt and how Jackson really vibed. It's interesting. On the depth chart on ESPN right now, they actually have Jackson. This is the backup beyond Keon Smith, which I thought was a little weird. But I know that stuff isn't really, you know, taken to the bank type of stuff. But
still strange, though. What the heck? If I'm Austin Jackson, I'm sending a mean email. Like, dude, come on.
That kind of has, like, Jeff Wilson or Raheem Mostert vibes as, like, a starting running back. It's like, wait a second here. Let's talk about this. But thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. I hope you guys all enjoyed this show. If you're looking for some more star-studded content, our good friend Merrick Brave interviewed Ricky Williams earlier this week, and it dropped on Sunday, so be sure to go check that out. We will be back tomorrow with some more draft content. I think we're looking at cornerbacks with Kat, so stay tuned for that. But that is all the time we have on another Dolphins podcast. We will talk to you soon, but until then,
what's up?